Amen. Good morning. Amen. There's something else on your hearts. Sure don't want to get in the way of the Lord. Him to have his way. Come here to worship him today. It's all about him. Appreciate this good song and this testimony. I certainly do need your prayers today. As Brother Collins stated, no matter how long you've been preaching, it's no easier today than it ever was. I might know a little more, and he can push a few more buttons, but I still have to rely on him if anything good's going to come of it. And I appreciate your prayers. Brother Collins told you a little bit of what's going on, but I want to share a few things with you. First of all, I want to say it's such an honor and privilege to be here at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Brother Casey asked me to fill in for him here a few months ago. I was here on a Sunday night visiting, and he told me he was going out of town, wanted to know if I'd fill in. And I told him I would, and I hadn't talked to him since. And this week he called me, and he said, "Are you still going to be there Sunday morning?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, I said, "I'm just teasing, Brother Casey. I remember. I plan on being there, Lord willing." So I kind of got him a little nervous for just a moment, but he's okay. In Belize, the Lord is blessing. There, I was counting up earlier. I hadn't really sat down and thought about it, but this morning I was thinking about how many preachers are member at Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Church. There's 7 preachers now at Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Church. And the Lord's called some of them. Some of them's come from the U.S. and joined there. Brother Paul Patterson, Brother Jeff Elliott, Brother Rick DeGraffenried have all joined the church down there and feel like the Lord is leading them to spread the gospel there in Belize. And there's plenty of places to do it. As Dr. Mike said, my burden is evangelizing in Big Falls, starting a new mission work there in Big Falls. I want to say this before I get into the message. I appreciate so much the support that Fairview Memorial gives to the Belize Mission Fund. It's a great blessing to the work. And I want you to know that the Belize Mission Fund, and of course we send out our reports quarterly. There's another one that's done that's going to be sent out probably this week. But half the members of Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Church don't live in that village. We have bused people into that mission point over the last few years, and people's gotten saved and joined the church. So there's going to be a continuing need for the Belize Mission Fund to help support the bus and the gas and the driver and all of those things that go with that to get these folks to church. And so some might have thought that, you know, now that they're organized, they can just go on their own. But they can't afford that, and they wouldn't, without the bus, they wouldn't be able to get to the church. And so we appreciate the continuing support. The Belize Mission Fund continues to support that. And also it supports our expenses when we're there. It does not, we don't use it while we're here in the U.S. It's only for there. And so I wanted to be clear on that, and so you understand. The preachers, Brother Paul Patterson, Brother Alex, pastoring the church, my son, They are getting and are worthy of support from the churches for the work that they have to do there. And I believe the Lord can provide for all the needs in the work there in Belize. We have a revival, as Dr. Mike said, at the church in June. They're going to have a revival. And we've got Michelle, my wife, Sister Michelle, is flying down. There's four girls that's gotten approved and got their visas to come. Do Re Mi Gospel Music Academy has given them scholarships. And we're flying them here. She's going to get them and bring them back for the Gospel Music Academy, which starts June 2nd. And they're excited. The people there love singing. They'd like to learn how to sing the different parts. Everybody sings lead because they don't know how to sing the soprano or the bass or the alto. So that'd be a great help to them and to the church. And so pray for them, young ladies. They're 19 and 21. There's four of them. Two of them, I think, are 19, two are 21 years old. And they show a great desire to learn about singing. And they are always learning new songs. The youth meet every Saturday. And they work on new songs. And they'll get in the hymn book and they'll look it up online and listen to someone singing it. And then they'll try to sing it because that's the only way they got of learning new songs. And they do a remarkable job. And so I wanted to mention that. And please pray for those young girls coming. Pray for the mission work in Big Falls. We had a revival in February. And they're in Big Falls and had a good turnout, about 90 people that showed up pretty much regular every night. And that's the only reason I have that count. We gave out snacks, and my wife knew how many snacks she'd bought, and we ran out. So there's possibly more that was standing outside listening in the dark. And so we rented a house from a lady. It's all open on the bottom floor, and the top floor has six bedrooms. And so we're trying to rent that. We're trying to rent the whole thing full time to try to have places when people want to come down or preachers come down, that we have a place for them to stay up in the upstairs of that house, having six bedrooms and a bathroom and a living room. And so it'd be a great opportunity there. Please pray for that. Also, we began, I think it was a week ago, Monday, they started drilling the well. The village has no electricity, no running water, and they bathe in the river, and there's a well out in the village. It's a hand pump, and we tested the water out there because Lewis and Honorine and their family all feeling sick all the time. I tested that water, took some test kits, and it's contaminated very bad. And so the well drillers, they're drilling. They did hit some water down about 30 feet that is good water and has a good amount, but they went ahead and they're drilling a little further just to see if we could hit something a little deeper. 30 is still considered a shallow well, so please pray for that as we have to make decisions on how deep to go. And we're also, Brother Alex is taking the water that's where they've gotten it from, to test it, to make sure it's a source that we can drink from. And so pray for that. That well is being drilled at where the meeting house is at the church there. It would be a help to the church and the community to have fresh water. And so please pray for that. There was a young man back in February. We held another revival meeting in February of 22 in Big Falls. And there was a young, we rented February of 23, we rented a Baptist so-called church building. We used their building and had a revival there. Brother Harvey Ambrose helped in that. And as we preached each night, there was a young man, he was the assistant pastor. His dad is the pastor of this church, and they attended, most of their congregation attended every night, and they heard sermons on a conversion experience, and that man At the end of the revival, I began to ask him if he had a conversion experience like we've been preaching about and talking about, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, tell me about it. Well, we got separated and did get a talk, and never really got to hear what he was going to tell me. And back in, I believe it was January of this year, I called him before we had a revival in February, and the Lord really put on my heart. He lives in the village there in Big Falls, and he come to my home, invite him over, and I said, Julio, I need to ask you about your conversion experience. I never did get to hear what you was saying. And he said, well, that's funny you ask that, because he said, that experience I was going to tell you wasn't a true experience. But since then, he said, I gave him Brother Jerry Reynolds' book, Essential Conversion Experience. He began reading that book. He said he began studying the scriptures and reading his Bible and thinking, and he, of course, he'd been at that revival meeting. He said, that revival meeting got me thinking. And he said, I got in so much trouble, I fell on my face and called on the Lord. And he said, now I've got a true conversion experience. And so you pray for him. He's got some decisions to make. I told him that, you know, he's well-respected in the community. He used to pastor the Nazarene church in town for about 4 years, and now he's over here at a Baptist so-called church, but the Lord can make him a missionary Baptist. And we pray he's got some decisions to make. He asked us, we came back to that church and taught a lesson on the doctrine of salvation, and he said, I want all the people here to truly have a conversion experience. So pray for us as the Lord guides and directs that we'll do the right thing and make decisions the Lord would be pleased with, and to help those people and hear the gospel and teach them. People around there are calling it this new way. And I tell them, this ain't a new way, this is the old way. This is the only way that's ever been true. But they've been so, they're a very religious nation. There's all kinds of missionaries that's been in that country over the years, and they've heard a little bit of everything, and they just take a little bit of everything, and they think it all can go together and fit together, and they're promised each other as these pastors there in those communities is that they won't take another one's member. And I told them I didn't sign up for that. I told them that a sheep don't belong in a goat house, and they don't. And so that don't go over too good there. They want me to, when they have a funeral, they have a wake, their culture is that they let every denomination get up and speak. And they all talk about how we're serving the same God. And there's only one true and living God. And if you don't have a conversion experience and don't believe in a spiritual birth from above, you're not one of His. And so maybe they are serving the same God. If they aren't truly saved, then they are serving the same God, and it's the God of this world. But you pray, as we're starting to see in our young people, the youth at the church are beginning to be persecuted because we don't believe like they do. And they've left their families and their villages and generations of people that have went to the church, whatever church it is in their villages, and they've come and are very dedicated to Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Church, and some of them young people are being ridiculed and persecuted and talked about, and it's difficult for a young Christian to endure that. And you pray for them young people that they'll just, having done all to stand there for, they'll put on the armor of God. The Lord will help them and protect them from the lies of Satan. And so I wanted to mention that and ask you to pray for that. I'm willing at any time, if someone has questions after service or whatever, I'll answer any questions. If someone has a desire to come there, we can set up a time for you. We're thankful so much. And I don't remember much about it when you all sent a group down there, because I ended up with COVID and was in quarantine. And my wife had to keep me informed of what was going on at the church services because I was in quarantine all week. And I'm sorry that happened, but the Lord knew all about it, and He took care of me. And you all were quite capable of going and worshiping, and I'm thankful for the effort that was put forth from this church and the people that came to. You've made an impact on the people there, and it's good for them to see how we worship and to meet our people, and it's been a great blessing and help to the work there, and I want to thank you for that. So I think that's all I have to say right now about that. I want to, about the mission work, I have a message on my heart that I'd like to get out. And I want to tell you this, one more thing about Belize. We had the organization service and we had revival services, and there were times that we had services that lasted 6 hours. And those people were still, we dismissed and they were still up there singing songs and just didn't want to leave. And so I tell you that this morning because if we go a little bit long, just compare it to 6 hours and say, well, that wasn't too bad, okay? I don't want to keep you lengthy if the Lord don't want, but I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I hope you don't want to get out at 12 o'clock because I don't know if I can get it in the next 12 minutes. But I'm thankful to be here today, and I know this. I don't know if Brother Moran had anything to do with this or not, but I felt a lot of comfort with this door behind me that says exit. If you don't like it, start throwing rotten tomatoes, I can run out the back door. And so I don't know who designed that, but it's pretty good. The lesson, I want to look at a verse of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, in the first verse. Just one verse of Scripture, and then we'll look at some others. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is talking about, you know, a lot of people today talk about faith that it's like, that it's a blind faith, that you just trust that God is, and you do. But the kind of trust and kind of faith that I've got has evidence. It's got substance. I know that God is real. There is plenty of Scripture to back up the teaching that we believe that God's Spirit can let us know that we're alive. We can realize that we are saved. We don't have to go through life. See, people that have faith that's, I call it just stubbornness. They go through life and they just, I believe Jesus died for me and I believe that He's, the Son of the living God, and no one's going to change my mind. Now, all that is stubbornness. You've just made up your own mind. But see, I didn't make up my own mind. God made up my heart when I experienced Him with a born-again experience, a conversion experience where God revealed Himself unto me. Now, I've used this before, and I'm going to use it again because I like it. It helps me, a simple-minded man, to understand this type of faith that we're talking about, a revealing knowledge of God. The word believe is used in many different forms. Believe, I can say, I believe that my wife wore that dress last Sunday. She's going to say, no, she didn't. But I could say I believe, but that's not a sure believe, is it? That's a guessing, saying, you know, I believe. And so believe can be used in different ways in the English language. But I can ask you a question this morning. Do you believe that I have a knife in my pocket? And you might say, well, you might deduct, well, Brother Shoulders wouldn't lie to me. If he says he's got a knife in his pocket, then I'm going to take him at his word. And I'm going to believe that he has a knife in his pocket. But you don't really know, do you? That's the kind of belief and faith that most of the world has, and the evangelism that's being taught out there today is teaching that kind of faith. But if I reach in my pocket and I show you I've got a knife, And I put it back in my pocket, and now I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you believe that I have a knife in my pocket? Now that belief has substance and has evidence, doesn't it? Because I revealed it unto you that I have a knife in my pocket. God revealed himself unto me the day that I got saved, that I know that God is real. I'm not guessing. I'm not hoping in the sense of my hope is anticipation. That's a scriptural hope, and what it means is that I'm anticipating God to take me home to be with him one day. I'm anticipating his coming back to get his children. Friends, I know that God is real. We want to look at some scriptures. 1 John 4 and 13 says this, Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his Spirit. Romans 8 and 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How do you know that you're saved? I know it because his Spirit gave evidence. That's what that word witness means. He gave evidence to me. Remember that? Evidence of things unseen? Listen, I haven't seen God with my physical eyes, but I've seen him with my heart. And I don't know about you, but not only when he saved me did I experience that, but I hear his voice and I know him. He didn't just quit there and save me and make me alive and then leave me. He's never left me or forsook me. And he's gave me witness of himself through his Spirit many times in my life. I feel him walk with me and talk with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. Aren't you thankful today that you got that kind of salvation? And if you don't, friend, I want you to have it. Because it's like nothing else that you could ever have. Friends, it's a gift of eternal life that he gives you, and you can realize it when he gives it to you. You don't have to hope I got it, and I hope I'm good enough, and all these nonsense of evangelism that's going on that tells you do this or do that, or you can't do that. Friends, listen, there's no sinner's prayer that I can tell you to pray that will get you that experience. There's no particular words that I can say that causes God to give you that gift of eternal life. And by the way, he's the only one that can give it. He's the only one authorized to give it. By the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only one worthy to make a way for us to get to heaven. Now, here's what it says, 1 John 5 and 6 through 13. I'll read this. It says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Here's that word again, witness. Gives evidence. Because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen to this. These things I have written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You believe you can know you have eternal life? See, I'm not going on my deathbed going, boy, somebody call a preacher to give me some assurance scriptures. I heard that one time of a president called a so-called modern Baptist preacher to his bedside to give him assurance scriptures. Listen, I don't need no assurance scriptures. God gave me blessed assurance in my heart the day that he saved me. The proof that I'm saved is not that I'm living it. The proof came when God spoke to my heart and gave me peace within. There's a lot of people, now, certainly there's fruits that come out of that when God saves a person, but I can't look upon the heart of men. And just because you're living a moral life and even doing it under the name of Jesus, you may not be saved. You say, preacher, is that scripture? Well, Jesus said there's going to be many that come to me and say, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Jesus told them, depart, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So there's a people in Belize, that's what the evangelism there is doing, is it's growing those people that are saying that we're worshiping under the heading of Jesus Christ, but they've never had a born-again experience. That young preacher, which is not a preacher, and I told him that, I said, if you just got saved back in June, do you know that God don't call people to preach that aren't saved yet? He said, I understand. But he told me, he said, our people, they're good at the ritual part of religion, but they don't truly have a conversion experience. I want them all to have a conversion experience. I want them to know that they have eternal life. Listen, do you know that this morning? If you don't know that, you need to call on the Lord with all your heart. And He can don't stop praying and seeking God till He lets you know and reveals Himself unto you. Listen, in Matthew chapter 16, remember when Jesus, He came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and He asked His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did the disciples know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Jesus answers the question. Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I believe that the church was built on this doctrine, this principle that Jesus was teaching them here. He said, Peter, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See that revealing, just like that pocket knife in my pocket, God revealed himself unto them. They knew him. They knew he was the Christ. They wasn't just running around hoping this is the guy. They knew him as the Son of God. And that principle, that there's a revelation knowledge of Jesus that can be experienced, that's the rock foundation that the Lord's church is built upon. The most important doctrine in the Lord's church is the doctrine of salvation. If you don't get that right, none of the rest matters. Because you get unregenerated membership, they're not serving the living God. Matter of fact, Jesus said they're not that their father is the devil. If you're lost today, those were hard words that Jesus spoke. He spoke it to moral people that were living just as moral as they could, as close to the law as they could get. And he said, your father's the devil. Friends, listen, I want you to be saved. I don't know anyone's hearts here. I know this, though, the years that I've been preaching and been doing mission work and preaching revival meetings, I've seen several people in my lifetime that have come forward during a revival meeting and said, you know, I thought I was saved, but I didn't really get the real thing. And I need you to pray for me. Friends, there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, it's better just be honest with yourself and with God. If you've not experienced a new birth, if you've not experienced a revelation knowledge that God is real, then would you please call on Him? Friends, listen, you can lie to yourself. You can lie to us. We can't tell because I can't tell the difference. I can't look upon the heart. But you're not going to fool God. And how sad it would be to stand before God and say, oh, I was a member of the church. I taught Sunday school. I did all these wonderful things in the name of Jesus. And Him to say, depart, I never knew you. I believe there's going to be people like that, sadly. I hope it ain't you. Listen, be sure. Make sure that your faith has substance and evidence of things unseen. Listen, we know a lot of things unseen. Jesus likened it, the Spirit of the Lord, unto the wind. You don't know whence it cometh or whither it goeth, and we can't see the wind. We know we can feel the effects of it and see the effects of it. Pain is another thing. I can tell you I'm in pain this morning, but friends, I can't gauge. You can tell me, well, I'm in pain too. Who's in the worst pain? Well, you don't know, do we? It's something that's unseen. And you have to experience it for yourself to know what it is, wouldn't you? You can't know pain except you've experienced it. And so you know what pain is. If you never experienced it, you say, what are you talking about? Well, just trust me, pain is real. No, you know about it because you experienced it yourself, and God's the same way. If you want to know God, you need to experience Him for yourself. I can't give Him to you, but He can come and reveal Himself unto you. It's a personal experience between you and God. Not you and the preacher and God. You and God. God can reveal Himself unto you. There's one more scripture that the Lord put on my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. It says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I'll be honest, most preachers stop right there. Say, we just can't know all the things of God. And I'm certain that we don't know everything. We look through a glass darkly here. But one day it'll be face to face and I'll understand fully. But it says, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but have you ever sat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I have. Did you get a glimpse of heaven? You know, John the Revelator used the very best words that he could find to describe heaven. The gates of pearl and the walls of jasper and the street of gold. And he described all of that. And I'll just be honest with you, that don't excite me. Now, I know he's trying to use the most beautiful words, but a gold, you know, I like a field of grass as much as a street of gold. But you know what? I believe John was using the very best words he could use to describe how beautiful heaven is. But you know what excites me? Heaven is going to be a full dose of the Spirit of God. Here, I get doses of it, and it feels good. It feels as good as anything I've ever felt in my life. when God's Spirit comes over me and comes upon me and just lifts me up, and that spring of living water just starts bubbling up out of my soul, friends, there's nothing else like it in this world. There's no drug that compares. There's no amusement park that makes me any happier. It feels good to feel God, doesn't it? And heaven, to me, heaven, that's what's going to be. Only it's going to be, we're going to have a new body fashioned like the Son of Man. And we're going to be able to take a full dose of the glory of God, of His Spirit is going to come, and we're going to be able to take it all in. Here we can't look upon His face, but I'm going to look on His face there. And we're going to praise Him while the ages roll on. I'll be done preaching. I'll lay my Bible down. But friends, Brother Strode, I'll be tapping my foot, because I'll be singing a new song with the saints on the shores of glory in that city whose builder and maker is God, the one I've been looking forward to, that come into my heart and revealed Himself to me when I was an 11-year-old boy, saved me by His wonderful grace, and has walked with me all the days ever since, and never left me and never forsook me. Even in times when I turned on Him, He was still there. He's a loving Father. He chastens me with great love. I hurt Him way more than He ever hurt me. I love Him this morning. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy to be lifted up as high as we can get Him, because He is Lord. Lord of lords and King of kings. I don't know about you, but He's already a king. He's already got a kingdom that He set up while He was here in this world. He said, it'll consume all them other kingdoms. Listen, kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but this kingdom's going to stand forever. I'm thankful the Lord set it up. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon this rock I build my church. This foundational principle that we can know God through an experience that God can reveal Himself unto man. Aren't you glad? I'm glad I feel Him this morning. I want you to know Him too. I don't know anyone's hearts here. God does. And it's between you and God. And we'll leave it with that. Our churches promote praying with someone, praying for someone, but letting them alone between them and the Lord. This is something that's been in Belize that's fascinating to them. It's also fascinating to them that when the church comes together, that it's a congregational government. And I've described to them, see, everything they've got there, the preacher just tells you what they're going to do. I don't believe that's scriptural. I believe that congregation government is scriptural. I don't believe a presbytery government is scriptural. And more, there's churches that even some of our church are trying to move closer and closer to the presbytery government, because preachers want to be able to say, this is what we're going to do. Listen, I don't believe you ought to be Lord over God's heritage. I believe you ought to be a servant of the Lord's church. And yeah, the majority sometimes may get it wrong, but it's still the majority. Do you know that the church is not a democracy? The church is a monarchy. Jesus is the head. And the only reason that we vote as a congregation is trying to figure out exactly what Jesus wants. And sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. But I believe it's the system that God set up in His church. And I believe God can fix it when we do mess up. And I've seen it happen, and God fixed it. Showed us, and we repented and got it worked out. This is all I have on my heart. I appreciate you hearing me. I appreciate so much this church and your prayers, your support, the love you've shown for missionaries, not just the mission work in Belize. I know that this church for years has been a supporter of missions around the world. And you know what it has to do with a lot is your pastors that you've had that have promoted mission work. And I'm thankful for that. And you got a good pastor now, and I pray for him. And you all lift him up, pray for him. It's good for him to get a break with his family this week. I didn't even ask him where he was going. But I'm thankful he gets a break. And someone said that thankful that you're getting a break from him or something like that this morning. I'm just teasing, but we love you all. I don't know who to turn it over to, Dr. Mike, or do you have a song or whatever. I want to give you an invitation if you're lost today. Today's a good day to be saved. I can't think of a better day. And you know what? I've never found one person said, boy, I'm sorry. I was sorry that I sought the Lord. I ain't found one yet. We sing that song, and never been sorry. And I haven't. That's one thing I ain't been sorry of, that I bowed myself down before a holy God and begged him to save me. I'm thankful he heard my prayer and my cry. And I want you to have that opportunity today. Go ahead, Brother Strode. You got a song?